Welcome to the Agency of the Month, sponsored by Sprint on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This month's agency, the United States Postal Service.
I'm Julia Ziegler. Our guest today is Patrick Donahue, the Postmaster General of the United States. Sir, I wanted to start our interview today by asking you, overall, what is the state of the U.S. Postal Service at this moment in time?
Well, thank you, Julia. Thanks for having us on today. I think the key thing about the state of the Postal Service is that we're not a heck of a lot different than many other businesses that are being impacted by the effects of the Internet and other disruptive technologies that we're seeing around us today. So if you step back and you take a look at what's happened over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, more people pay bills online and less in the mail, and that's had a negative impact on our finances as well as the impact of a slow and sluggish economy. But on the other side of that, there are also benefits with the Internet. The Internet has enabled a lot of companies to move online from a package standpoint, and we're seeing growth in business there too. So like any other business, we're going through changes, and changes, of course, have to be done quickly and have to have the customer in the back of mind all the time as we make those changes, and you'll see us changing over the course of the next couple of years to adapt to the environment we find ourselves in.
And we'll get into some of those changes in just a bit, but I wanted to start by talking a little bit about the financial situation in particular at the U.S. Postal Service. In September, USPS hit its $15 billion borrowing limit from the U.S. Treasury Department. You can't borrow any more from Treasury at this point now that that limit has been hit. So what happens now?
The situation we're in from a borrowing perspective is exactly where you said we are. We've got a $15 billion line of credit from the Federal Treasury, and it's like any other business that would be borrowing money. We've reached our limit. The one thing we do not want to do is ask for any kind of an extension on that. What we need to do is get some legislation passed this fall in the lame duck session of Congress that resolves a lot of our financial problems that we've been experiencing. Number one on that list is the requirement to prepay retiree health benefits. We're required to pay health benefits for employees prepay into a fund at a rate of about $5.6 billion a year. Now, back whenever we were delivering 213 billion pieces of mail, that was a daunting challenge, but we thought we'd be able to do it. But now that our volume is down to about 165 billion, a lot less, we are not able to make those payments anymore. From a legislative perspective, we're looking for Congress to do the following. Number one, restructure those that payment schedule. The Senate passed a law in the spring, and it fits our purposes very well. We pay our bills, but we're able to do it in a way that we can afford it going forward. Second thing is we would like to have a refund of $11 billion from our FERS, Federal Employee Retirement System, overpayment. That will go right on that debt. Okay, so we can quickly knock our debt down. And the other thing we need Congress to do is to pass legislation at the same time that gives us the green light to move to five-day mail delivery. We'll still deliver packages on Saturday. We'll still be open for business on Saturday, have mail and post office boxes. But with the volume loss that we've experienced, we need to make those changes. Bottom line, that legislation is worth a change in our profit and loss statement of $10 billion a year. It puts us back on good financial footing, and we can manage a lot of the other things that we're doing now to cut costs out to be healthy financially long into the future.
Going back to the borrowing limit, since you won't be borrowing anymore from Treasury, that means you now depend solely on your own revenue to sustain operations. Is that correct?
That is correct. We generate on a daily basis about $250 million in cash every day. That's good, but every 2 weeks we make a payroll payment of $1.8 billion. So we, in the short term, from a cash standpoint, will be okay, but it's critical that Congress moves on this legislation to get us out from behind the situation we're in right now.
And so how much usable cash does that mean that you have on hand at any given time, given those numbers that you just said?
When we make payroll on an every other week basis, that drops us to probably around $1.5 billion. So that's about a week's worth of cash on hand. The good thing about our business is historically it's very predictable with the cash that comes into the system. However, with the borrowing capacity used up, you really can't depend on that cash flow for a long term, because, you know, if there are some hiccups in the economy and our volume would drop off, that would put us in harm's way.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you said the first thing that you'll pay back, if you wouldn't have to pre-fund retirements, would be to pay off the $15 billion to Treasury.
Well, two things. The pre-funding is required by law. The Senate bill, as it's written today, eliminates the pre-funding. I think what people don't realize about the Postal Service is we have two retirement funds. Both of them are overfunded right now, and we've also prepaid $45 billion into the health care fund for future retirees. We're the only ones that have any kind of funding anywhere near that. What we're asking Congress to do is to change the payment structure going forward. We're not shirking our responsibility. We think we should pay that bill. However, it needs to be on reasonable terms. The law that the Senate passed allows us to do that. Also, out there is an $11 billion overpaid into the retirement system, federal employee retirement system. We'd like that money back, and we'd put that against the debt.
When is your next payment due to the pre-funding of the future retirees' health benefits?
At this point, it's scheduled for September 30th, 2013. It's a year from now. We've defaulted on two payments.
Okay, but you have a year to go before the next payment hits.
Yes.
Okay. In Q3, the agency lost $5.2 billion, which puts you at $11.7 billion for the fiscal year. I was wondering if you have Q4 numbers available yet, and if not yet, when we can expect those out.
No, we will have the numbers at our next Board of Governors meeting. What we have to do is our numbers have to be audited by our independent audit firm before we can do anything publicly. But, you know, suffice it to say, you know, we're not too far off of the prediction at the beginning of the year of approximately a $15 billion loss. The majority of that is tied into the pre-funding requirements. And even though we didn't make the payments, you still have to account for that by law. And then we will have an operating loss, a profit and loss just from the ongoing operations.
Despite the payments owed and hitting the borrowing limit and some of the money that is out there from the pension obligations that you folks want to get back, the Postal Service has said that none of this is currently affecting operations, employees, or suppliers at this point. I'm wondering, at what point, or is there a point where you won't be able to say that anymore, where this will start to affect suppliers or employees or operations directly?
One of the things I think that's critical is the fact that we are focused on making sure that the Postal Service does not fail in its mission, and that is delivering the mail, delivering packages that are entrusted to us. And as part of that, got to pay the employees every 2 weeks. They come, they do a great job every day. We owe it to them. And we also have a substantial supplier network that helps get mail transported from point to point and many other things that a normal business would do. We owe them the money that that they've earned as far as helping us to accomplish our mission, and we'll do that. The key issue for us is pushing the legislation, and I've said this repeatedly to people in Congress. Picking a date when one would run out of money is not the idea. That's not what any business would ever want to talk about. It's getting the ship righted, getting the legislation done the way we need it so we can get back on firm financial footing, and so that we eliminate this whole crisis of confidence that's going on with the Postal Service right now. Big companies do not want to be associated with a company that may not be able to deliver on its promise. We are committed to deliver on our promise.
Sir, I want to get into more about the congressional legislation that you folks would like to see pass, but we do have to take a short break. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Patrick Donahue, the Postmaster General of the United States.
Not having your phone plan with Sprint can be expensive, real expensive. Luckily, if you're a United States Postal Service employee, you can save 25% off select Sprint monthly services. And for a limited time, also receive a $100 service credit per line when you switch to Sprint. Visit Sprint.com/USPS or go to a Sprint retail store in your area and mention that you're an employee, retiree, or contractor of the United States Postal Service. Sprint knows how hard members of the Postal Service work, and that's why they're making it easy for you to switch today and save. Visit Sprint.com/USPS and deliver yourself some savings. That's Sprint.com/USPS. Coverage not available everywhere. Ends 12/31/12. Subject to 2-year agreement, activation and early termination fees and other restrictions. Service credit will be credited within 3 invoices. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Patrick Donahue, the Postmaster General of the United States. Sir, before the break, we were talking about Congress and the legislation that the Postal Service would like to see passed in order to get it back on a good financial footing. You have been on Capitol Hill many, many times talking to Congress about this, and I'm sure there have been countless meetings with them privately as well. And yet we haven't seen any legislation passed by both houses of Congress to get this moving forward. Any word from Congress on when they might act on a reform plan?
We haven't heard anything from Congress specifically. There, of course, is discussion about having a lame duck session. And the fact of the matter is that the Senate has actually passed legislation and the House has introduced legislation. So the framework is there. It would be our goal and our hope that the House is able to push through its legislation in lame duck, get to the conference with the Senate and hammer out a good postal bill and get it over to the President to sign and get into effect this year. Again, the key things are resolving the retiree health benefits, getting the refund back on the overpayment, and moving from 6 to 5 day mail delivery.
Would you be happy to see some of these things get passed, even if they can't get a huge comprehensive bill through and agreed upon? Would something be better than nothing from your perspective?
I think that the key for us is the 3 items that I've mentioned. The other one that's very important for us is the ability to have more freedom in the product development market. Today, we're very constrained with what we can do, and we think that there are some interesting opportunities out there that we'd be able to come to market with some products that would fit within our mission and help us make money and also would be good products for the American public. That's an important issue. And then there's another one, of course, that we've asked for, and that's language to the arbitrator. Our contracts are all set. If we fail through negotiations, they move to binding arbitration. And I think it's important that the arbitrator considers the financial condition of the Postal Service on any rulings that are made by that person. So those would be the key things. Those are key to get through Congress. That's as comprehensive as we think that it needs to be at this point in time. What I would like to say is that if there's no real shortcut here. We need to address this thing end to end. Putting a small patch on and hoping to get back to it later on is not good because, as everyone knows, there are a number of other big, much larger issues than us facing the U.S. Congress that's going to tie up a lot of their time.
And that was going to be my next question for you, sir. Have you gotten any indication from Congress where postal reform is on their priority list when they come back in the lame duck session? Of course, we have sequestration or the possibility of that on the horizon. Cybersecurity legislation, I know, is something else that was big, and many people were hoping that Congress would get passed in this session before they left. And postal reform was the other big one on the list. So I'm wondering if you know where this is on their priority list.
No, nobody has said anything specific yet, so we're waiting till after the election. I'm sure after the election they'll probably come back and tell everybody what their priorities are going to be.
You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Patrick Donahue, the Postmaster General of the United States.
Not having your phone plan with Sprint can be expensive, real expensive. Luckily, if you're a United States Postal Service employee, you can save 25% off select Sprint monthly services. And for a limited time, also receive a $100 service credit per line when you switch to Sprint. Visit Sprint.com/USPS or go to a Sprint retail store in your area and mention that you're an employee, retiree, or contractor of the United States Postal Service. Sprint knows how hard members of the Postal Service work, and that's why they're making it easy for you to switch today and save. Visit Sprint.com/USPS and deliver yourself some savings. That's Sprint.com/USPS. Coverage not available everywhere. Ends 12/31/12. Subject to 2-year agreement, activation and early termination fees and other restrictions. Service credit will be credited within 3 invoices. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Patrick Donahue, the Postmaster General of the United States. One of the things that you talked about earlier, and one of the things that is important to you in order to help save some money and to bring the Postal Service back to a good financial footing, is moving to the 5-day mail delivery system. What is the benefit that you see? And I know that we've been talking about this through the eyes of removing Saturday delivery, but has there been talk about it being a different day that might affect people less?
What we're looking at is this. We'd like to eliminate mail delivery on Saturday, but we would keep our post offices open. We would keep our post office boxes. If you have a box, you'd get mail in your box. Our networks would run, and we'd deliver packages on Saturday. And what we've heard from the general public time and time again has been, if you're going to make any changes due to trying to improve your financial state, you should address the Saturday delivery. That's a day that should be eliminated. It's worth $2.7 billion. It would put us in the black this year. And the other thing is that as you go forward, we're even at that in a catch-up mode. We've lost a substantial portion of our mail volume, well over 25% over the last 5 years. Our people have done a great job. They've been very productive. We've closed the gap. But as people continue to pay bills online, and they will, that's just, it's easy, it's free, we understand that. We've got to figure out which ways, like any other normal, responsible business would do to cut some costs, and we think that the Saturday delivery is the one that should be addressed.
One of the other things I know that you support is the introduction of your own insurance program. Can you explain why that would be beneficial to the Postal Service?
The Postal Service is currently the second largest employer in the United States from a single entity perspective. If you know, Walmart has more people than us, and the federal government has more people. But if you take a look at any single entity, next to Walmart, we're second. We have a very large payroll, and our health care costs are probably more expensive than Walmart spends. One of the things that we've looked at is this. We think that the Postal Service should be free, like any other company, to go on the out into the public market and compete the health care costs that we pay for our employees and for our retirees. Right now, this year, with the pre-funding, we will spend $13 billion for health care. We think that by resolving the law and by competing the health care, we can take about $6.5 billion worth of cost out. That is substantial. It is the one largest spend that we have that we know can really turn the tide as far as the costs go. What we'd like to do is go out in the public market, have a competition for health care. I think that we would be able to get a more affordable health care plan, a better health care plan than we have now. And rather than being in a situation where people are shopping around with 217 different health care systems within the federal government and managed by the OPM, you would have everybody compete for a very large chunk of money that we'd be spending in health care, and I think we'd get the best. And we would be able to do that and take substantial costs out. The second thing we'd be able to do would be to offer our retirees who are on Medicare and Medicare wraparound plan. We waste money today. We are spending money on health care for retirees that is over and above what they need to have if they've signed up for Medicare A and B. We've laid the plan out. It saves us money. It saves our employees money. It saves our retirees money. And it provides a better health care.
We've talked about a lot there. I'm wondering, when it comes down to it, how much more can you do without congressional action at this point in time?
We are doing everything that we can. Number one, we are making network changes as we speak. We have moved from a network of about 460 processing facilities, large facilities. By the year 2014, we will be down to about 230. We've eliminated about 46 of those facilities during the summer. There will be another 100 after the first of the year and the remainder after the first of next year. So that will take almost $3 billion out of the system. We also have addressed small post offices. Rather than closing them, we're in a process right now where we are moving out of the 26,000 post offices we have. Half of them will be on part-time hours. They'll still have access. Customers will have access to buying stamps and mailing packages and their post office boxes. But instead of 8 hours on the window, some will have two, some will have four, and some will have six. That will save us $500 million a year. We've negotiated very good contracts with our unions. We're arbitrating some of those contracts, and we're looking for a lot more flexibility. There are billions of dollars in there. So all the things that we can control, we will do. We've been focusing on growing the business. Our package business is going to grow this year 9%. It continues to go up, and we do that because our prices are good. Our visibility through scanning is very good, and we've been able to team up with FedEx and UPS on last-mile delivery. That's helped a lot in that area, too. So whether it's revenue generation or cost reduction, everything that we can do, we're doing. We need Congress to act on the legislation for the rest of the savings.
What are some of the other lines of business that the Postal Service is looking to get into?
Well, there's a number of areas that we think are in our sweet spot as far as the home delivery and taking advantage of a tremendous network that we have. Number one, package delivery. As I mentioned before, we have a 9% growth, bordering on 10% this year. And with the way e-commerce is growing, we think that the fact that we visit every house every day, 150 million addresses on a daily basis, it makes very good sense to a lot of people in that package business to use us for either the full service or the last mile delivery. So we think that's going to be a real big growth for us. One of the other areas that we think that we have big opportunities in is direct mail, marketing mail. If you think about it, whether you have a computer with an email address, a lot of people get spam email and they use spam filters and never see any of that information. And the same can apply to a smartphone. And the same applies to a lot of things like the TVs today with the DVRs and a lot of the other technology to eliminate advertisement. The Postal Service delivers to 150 million addresses on a daily basis, and people look at their mail, and we know that. Mail has the best return on investment of any investment one makes in advertising, and we think that that will continue to grow, especially once the economy gets moving a little bit in this country. So we think there's another opportunity. We also think that there's a place for us moving forward in the digital marketing. We are right now working on some programs around package and mail tracking systems that we're testing internally that we think offer a lot of promise, as well as some secure digital messaging, and we'll have a lot more on that after the first of the year.
I also wanted to ask you a little bit about this new same-day service pilot that you are doing in San Francisco called MetroPost. Can you describe that a little bit for us?
Sure. There is a growing demand for same-day delivery by companies just because of the convenience factor and the factor of where you're located geographically in the United States. If you think about San Francisco, it's a beautiful city, but the one thing that's hard to do in San Francisco is find a parking spot. So there's a lot of companies that are saying, hey, wouldn't it be great if somebody could go online at 9 o'clock in the morning and by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that package that they bought is delivered at their house? The way our networks are set up with our post offices across the country, we have, you would almost call it a matrix, where you've got delivery routes that cover every square mile of the United States. And it is not that hard for us, working with the company with today's technology, to know when somebody's got something that needs picked up, the ability to hand it off to another carrier within that same day, get it delivered in a certain geographical area. Now, the key thing is the geographical area. Say a 10-mile radius. You certainly are not going to be able to pull something off like that in a 50-mile radius and make it affordable. But that's the kind of convenience that customers are looking at today, and we think that we provide an excellent spot for them, again, to be able to effect that delivery. We also think it's going to work better in some cities than others, but the market's going to be wide open. Let's see what happens.
So the idea being that, let's say I go online and I'm able to, I purchase something and the place that I purchase it from is within, let's say, 10 miles of my home or something like that, that I would be able to get that package delivered the same day.
Yes, you would go online, buy it. We'd get a message that says, pick something up for Julia at so-and-so store and deliver it to her that evening. Done.
How profitable do you think that the MetroPost system can be?
We think it'll be profitable. We think that we have been working with our employee unions on more flexibility with the employee base, so, of course, the affordability there. And, of course, things even like healthcare, any of the cost side that you're able to reduce at the same time to generate new revenue brings up net income into the organization. That's what we're trying to do.
You talked about this a little bit earlier, but currently there are some congressional limitations on what lines of business the Postal Service can be involved in. If these restrictions weren't there, are there other things that you would like to see the Postal Service offer Americans?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about what we could offer, and we think there are some things that make a lot of sense and some that don't. I mean, people have said, well, maybe you should get into banking or cell phones. That doesn't make sense to us. There's already plenty of banks and plenty of cell phone providers. This same day delivery we think is important. We think that the ability to move towards the whole world of secure digital messaging is important. We think that the way our laws are set up now meet up with that, but we'd like a little bit more definition just so that there's no concern out there from a general public standpoint. But so there are some areas. I mean, we've had people who have made recommendations about things like delivering wine in the mail, and people laugh about that. There are postal services around the country that make a lot of money, and there's a lot of small businesses out there that are interested in that kind of service too. So we're open for anything that fits into what we would say would be our core, and hard copy or package delivery as well as secure digital messaging, we think that there's a big future for us.
You started to talk about this a little bit earlier as well with the Postal Service's post plan, which will reduce window hours at about 13,000 post offices around the country. I know that that was scheduled to be completed by September of 2014. Is that still the target date? Is that still on track?
Yes, it is. We're in the process right now of having our first town hall meetings. As part of the process, we're going to have a town hall meeting in 13,000 post offices across the country. Well, right now we've got 1,500 done, and before the holiday period, we'll probably have another 1,000 or so done. So we'll have about 2,500 done before we hit the holidays this year. The bottom line there is that we're trying to match up the work hours that we have the window open with the demand. Many of these are small places. We may only have the window open 4 hours a day, but the doors will be open for customers to access mail in their boxes or pick packages up 8 to 10 hours a day.
And how do those meetings work? Is the Postal Service sending postal representatives out to each of these post offices that would be affected? And what have you heard back so far from the folks that have participated in these meetings that you're holding?
We have sent hundreds of thousands of surveys. I can't tell you the exact number, but it's close to 400,000 surveys out to customers, and we've asked them to let us know the answer on one of four options. One option is changing the hours, shrinking the hours in the post office. Another is combining a post office closer in. A third option is to contract the work out, and a fourth option is to close the post office and deliver mail in that area. About 80% of the responses that have come back so far have been, keep my office open, but shorter hours are okay. The next step is to actually go to that town, have a little town meeting. We generally do them 3, 4, 5, 6 in the afternoon. A couple customers come in, talk through what the options are, and then make a decision from that point and go. So like I told you, we've got 1,500 of the meetings done and another 1,000 coming up here in the next few weeks.
Very interesting. The other thing that I wanted to talk a little bit more about was the consolidation of the mail processing centers. I know you said so far 46
Yep.
have been eliminated and 100 more after January 1. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then there's the potential for another...
It's about 89? Another 70 to 80 more right in that, in
okay.
that area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that would be beginning in February of 2014?
Right. We'd finish up in February of 2014.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And That will reduce the workforce by how many people, and how much money do you expect it will save you each year?
We think it'll save around $3 billion. That also includes transportation and the building costs. From a people perspective, it saves about 25,000 people. And what we've been doing is, you know that we've got a buyout out there right now for the people to leave the organization. And we think that a number of people will select that option to leave, and then it makes a much smoother landing as far as how we, you know, take care of assignments for people and the facilities that we're going to keep open. We've employed those tactics for a number of years. The Postal Service today has about 526,000 career employees. In the year 2000, we had over 800,000. So we've been able to reduce the headcount over 275,000 people and do that without layoffs. We've planned this. We've been very careful. We knew these days would come when we'd have less volume, and we've been trying to do it in a responsible way so that it doesn't negatively affect our employees, but at the same time we can get the costs out that we need to.
You're a lifelong USPS employee, and so you've been there. You've been in lots of different positions. And so I'm wondering, what do you say to Postal Service employees who maybe scared isn't the right word, but unsure or uncertain about all of the reductions to the size of the workforce that are going on? What do they tell you? How do you handle it? What do you tell them?
Well, I'd like to keep the employees in the loop as much as possible. We do regular videos from here, and I do a lot of town hall meetings. The key thing for our employees is this. They do an excellent job. They do an excellent job, whether they're delivering mail, processing mail, working at our post offices. They're working. These are people. When you work for the Postal Service, you work. You can work, we're open 365 days a year and 24 hours a day, so, they work hard. And one of the things that our employees know is that the business is changing, and they like to be kept in the loop, and they like to be told exactly what's going on. So I have had the opportunity where I've gone out and talked to people in places that we're consolidating, and I tell them, hey, here's what's going to happen, here's the time frame, here's the options. People appreciate that because they're not any different than anybody else. If they need to get the news, they want the news because then they can plan and get on with the rest of their lives. The Postal Service is a very good employer. We're also very good from a standpoint of taking care of people who leave here from a retirement standpoint. And everybody wants to keep us. If you're an employee, you want to keep the organization healthy so you can enjoy those benefits for the fruits of your labor.
We've seen about 3 or 4 buyouts and early outs this year from the Postal Service. Do we expect more in the near future?
I really don't think so at this point, because I'm expecting us to have about 20,000 people take this buyout, and that will get us down to under 500,000 employees. And then depending on how quickly we can implement the 5-day delivery time frame, we'll see. We generally have about 25,000 to 30,000 people a year retire from the organization. As we speak, there are about 140,000 people that are eligible to retire right now. And our goal is to get the headcount down to approximately 400,000 career employees. That'll put us in good shape from a salary and benefits perspective, given the workload, the schedule, and the revenues coming into the organization. So I don't think we'll need any more buyouts after this one.
500,000, is that about where you'd want to be at this point if the end goal is 400,000?
Yes, because the key thing for us going forward is we have the network changes in the spring or this coming winter, and then the following winter, that'll be some headcount reduction there. And when we implement the 5-day delivery change, that's about 35,000 or 40,000 people there. So those are a couple of the big ones that are left. And as I mentioned before, as volume in the letter mail area drops off, which it will with bill payment online, we also, you have to trim here and there from a headcount perspective in order to match up with the revenues coming in. So if we're at 500,000 now, the goal is by 2016, the end of 2016, to be down to 400. I think that puts us in pretty good shape.
How quickly can you move on implementing 5-day delivery once Congress acts?
The key for us is to allow our customers to set schedules up within their framework. If we had to make a change in our organization, we could probably do it in about a two-month time period. We've talked to our customers. These are mailing customers, and they have schedules where they have schedules for advertising campaigns and whatnot. They've asked us to give them about a six-month window to make the changes that they need, transportation contracts, those types of things. So if Congress passed a bill in the November timeframe during the lame duck that gave us the go-ahead, I would propose that we would move to a five-day delivery schedule Memorial Day of next year. I think that would be easy. We'd be going into the summer, light mail volume period. It would give everybody a chance to make the changes in plenty of time.
With so much on your plate at the moment, what's your number one priority?
My number one priority is the legislation, because if we can get the legislation resolved, it changes our profit and loss sheet, our balance sheet, our net income by $10 billion. There are very few things, there are very few companies that have that one item that would have such a dramatic change, because the second thing that does, once we resolve this, we're out of the newspaper and the radio. Not that I don't like to be on this radio program, but I'd rather talk about growth, package growth, all kind of positive things. It gets the negative image of the Postal Service off the table, and then we focus on growing this great organization and help build American businesses.
Is there anything else we missed when it comes to, I know we did talk a little bit earlier about some of the bigger opportunities the Postal Service has in the future. Was there anything else you wanted to mention in that arena?
I think the key thing that people don't realize is the fact that the Postal Service is part of a very, very large postal mailing industry, and that's why this whole issue is so critical. If you take a look at the industry itself, our revenues in the Postal Service this year will be about $65 billion. That's a lot of money. That puts us in the top 30 of the Fortune 500. But when you take a look at the industry itself, paper, forestry products, envelopes, logistics and transportation, printing, all of the people involved, the catalogers, the magazines, that is almost an $800 billion industry. That's the same size as the oil and gas industry in the United States. It's big. And the fact that that industry is in harm's way with this uncertainty over the Postal Service is not good. We need to get that resolved so this big industry gets back to the goal of economic growth in this country.
What is the future of the Postal Service? Where do you see it a year from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now?
I think that the Postal Service, given the law change, can be a very healthy organization in the short term and in the long term. We have transitioned this organization over the history that we've been in existence many, many times. I mean, if you go way back to the invention of the telegraph, that was the end of the Postal Service, then the telephone, then the television. These items, all the technology changes have only enabled us to grow in different ways, and I think that we'll be doing that in the future. There will always be a need for a good, efficient package delivery system. There will be a need for hard copy, whether it's advertising, catalogs, some magazines, and some first-class mail. We'll be there in the future to deliver.
The Internet, for all its greatness, not even the Internet can reach every household in America.
That's right.
Is there anything we missed today, sir, or anything you wanted to say to Postal Service employees before we go?
Our employees do a wonderful job. On our videos that we do, I like to thank them all the time, and I thank them again publicly. They do a tremendous service. They are very productive and always have the customer at the top of mind, and that is the bottom line, what makes this organization run the way it does.
You've been listening to Agency of the Month, sponsored by Sprint on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This month's agency is the United States Postal Service. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency of the Month. Agency of the Month, Wednesday mornings at 11 AM, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.